Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. What happens when you're a single mother and you're raising a child who's on the spectrum? Well, you wind up being my next guest, that's who. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage, and I'll see you on the other side. See you there.
I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. I wanna believe in the truth.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today I'm joined with Amy Pierce. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I am a mother of a 22-year-old autistic son, and just starting to explore that adult life with him. And I'm on a new adventure myself with creating a course and writing a book to help women who have been through mentally abusive, toxic relationships and situations, whether that was from a romantic relationship or a family relationship, that was my case. And one of the things that I am going to be focusing on is helping women who are in this situation with special needs children, going through a narcissistic abusive relationship.
All right. So when was your son diagnosed?
We got diagnosed officially at age 7. I noticed some developmental issues around 18 months old, when he was a baby, and the doctors just kept brushing everything off. He's just a little slower developing. It'll come. He'll be fine. By 2, he wasn't talking. They did a hearing test. He's fine. He's just a slow talker. And we just kept going with that, kept taking him back. Something's, we want to figure this out. He's fine. Just take him home over and over for years. His first day of kindergarten, 1 hour in, I get a phone call from the school. And they said, "We need to have a meeting. We believe your son has autism." And so that was like a light bulb that went off. I'm like, absolutely, this explains everything that the doctors have been missing. And then after we went through the initial meetings in the kindergarten classroom and with the professionals in the school district, they officially labeled him as having autism and moved him to the special needs class, even without the doctor's diagnosis. And they gave me a bunch of paperwork and studies they had done just by observations that they had done watching him in class for me to take to the doctor to try to get that diagnosis for him. And still the doctor refused to do that. And so it was finally when he was 7, I actually learned about SSI. And I didn't know that was available. And so I went ahead and applied for it, and they sent him for his official testing and came back, he has autism, 100%.
I can tell you from my experience, I had to deal with SSI when we first knew I was diagnosed with autism. It was unofficially. My primary care doctor, family members who were psychologists and psychiatrists, a family lawyer, all saw the traits in me and told my parents. Back then, autism wasn't part of the requiem. It wasn't in the books yet. We applied for SSI just to see what would happen, and we get denied with the thing saying he can do menial work. So we gave up on that, and then later in life we tried again, because then it became part of it was part of the it was part of the medical knowledge. Still got denied with the same excuse. I come home from college and my mom's like, we're going to try one more time, but this time we're going to go for a law firm, a disability law firm. They're like, okay, give us all your medical history on him, everything you have on him, any papers that say he's autistic, any kind of testing, anything we give him all that work so they have all of my background. And the lawyer's like, okay, well, they're gonna deny you the first two times. Third time, they're gonna deny you. On the back of the form, it's gonna say you want to appeal to a court. And you have some, and it's gonna ask, do you have someone to represent you? You're gonna say, yes, do you have a lawyer? So, and the third time we appealed, we said we have a lawyer. They set us a court date. We meet on that court date with the lawyer. She goes over, we go into a little room and she discusses everything with us. And then we go back out and we wait for our turn to be called. We get called into the room. It's a small little tiny, it feels like a tiny little room with the judge and this bench on one end and us on the other. There's a woman for vocational recreation on the other, on one side. So he asks my mom my story. He talks to my lawyer, gives him our story. I give him my story. And what's funny is when I'm talking to him and telling him about how when I was traveling, I panicked because I didn't want to get lost. Both the lawyer and my mother were great. This him telling about him traveling is going to blow the case out. So after we get all done, then we get to the vocational worker, and she's like, okay, what about this job and this job and this job? My mom's like, nope. Any job he's got to work with people, he can't do because he doesn't know when it's right and wrong to say something to somebody. He's gotten in trouble when he was working at over here. He said something to a girl who was Indian who was wearing a hijab. He asked her why you're covering up your beautiful hair, yada yada yada. And so the judge is like, okay, thank you very much, and you'll know in a couple of months. The lawyer's like, you'll hear something from us or from SSI in 3 4 months. About 4 months in, I get a letter. Congratulations, you've been awarded full rights, minus your back pay.
That's awesome. That was quite a struggle you had to go through there to get that all together. But like you mentioned, back then nobody really knew a whole lot about autism,
No.
and
I
it
mean,
wasn't really recognized as any kind of a disability at all.
no, let's get back to you. All
Yeah.
right. How is he doing with making friends?
So he actually has his own cool little life here in our hometown.
Okay.
He has his own electric bike and
Cool.
he travels to and fro. He has a gym membership. He works out with a couple of people at the gym. And he is very well known in a lot of the establishments around town. But as far as any close friends, nobody like that, really. He runs into a lot of people he knows and says hello, and they're very friendly back with him. But as far as inviting people over to come hang out, he's never done anything like that before.
So he's not comfortable with like inviting a school friend over to like hang out and watch TV or something. Has he tried to make friends in high school?
Not really, no.
So
No.
he's very much an introvert.
Yes, very much an introvert. Until he's comfortable with you, and then he's a really funny guy.
That seems to be the case with a lot of kids who are on a spectrum. They're very much introverted and they don't want to be your friend or call you a friend until they get to know you well enough. I
Exactly.
have a really good friend I met online who's autistic like us, me and your son, and he told me when we first started talking, he was masking. Until he got comfortable with me, until we became really good friends, then he felt he could be himself, be goofy, funny, joking around. And I'm like, okay, that makes kind of sense. I understand. I mean, we are very sheltered people in the sense that we don't know we don't want to open up to everybody.
Exactly. He's the exact same way. But once he gets to know you, you have a hard time having him just stop talking to you. You get him going on something he really likes, which one of the topics that he just loves to watch videos on is HVAC. He is fascinated with HVAC systems, air conditioning systems, and heaters and furnaces. And so you bring that up, he'll talk your ear off for forever.
So he wants to work for the air conditioning companies.
One of his things that he would probably love to do as a job. And right now, he got laid off recently at his body shop job. And that's just because this time of year, body shops are notoriously slow. They just didn't have enough hours to have somebody come in and sand the cars for them or change the trash and stuff. So they're gonna have their other guys do it for a little while. So we're looking for a new job for him. He applied to be a dishwasher at this convent that's just in the town next to it's the one town over to be a dishwasher there. And so that looks pretty promising for him for right now. But if he could get to, where he's fixing air conditioners and heaters, oh man, that would be a dream come true for this young man.
Now, when you got the official diagnosis, was that kind of like a light bulb moment for you and him? Like, oh, this explains why you are the way you are all these years and why you've done these things?
Absolutely. Even when he was much younger, he never, took to other children. We would try to bring other kids over for play dates, and he would do odd things, like not play with them. But we had this one little boy over, and he was just obsessed with setting him down in a chair and then sitting on him and then getting up and then sitting back down and then getting back up. And so, the little boy thought it was very weird behavior, so he didn't want to be friends, which I understand. When you're a kid, you don't understand kind of any of that and what's going on. And yeah, so it was just an odd time. It was nice to understand, to have an explanation, I suppose. And all the odd behaviors, absolutely. The delays, for sure, that explained all of the delays that we were having. Up 7 years old, still unable to potty train him at that point. And so it helped us to be able to get the information that we needed so that we could help him the best and help set him up for success. And I thank God for that school, who took action and really helped me get all the information that I needed so that I could, get him his diagnosis.
Now, does he have any sensory issues?
He does. So he constantly has to wear earbuds. He has to constantly be listening to his music. Even if it's only one earbud in, if he knows he has to pay attention, he'll have one earbud in, but he'll be listening to his rock and roll music. He loves it. And he also has a kind of like an OCD style of overcleaning. He's very, very much an overcleaner. So you've got to tell him to calm down with the bleach sometimes,
I can tell you my mother would probably wish I had that because I mean, growing up and even today, she'll say, I know where you've been, you leave a mess behind.
And the funny thing is, he used to be very, very messy. It wasn't until he was a teenager that he kind of changed. When he was younger, he would absolutely destroy walls and furniture and rip up moldings from the floors. And then one time, we found that he had a bucket in his closet where he was going to the bathroom.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and so, now that we knew that that was a thing, okay, we got to watch for that and all this other destructive stuff that he was always doing. But it wasn't until he was about a teenager that for some reason, something changed in him. And I don't know if it's something that was from school, or some of the programs, or some of the therapies that he was in, but just kind of like one day he decided, I am super clean man. And everything is just spotless in his area, set up kind of like a hotel. His room is now. So,
How is he with like making friends? And I know we talked about this. Has he tried to make friends at school?
So like he has a few, so he won't call them up and ask to hang out. But when he does get together, like if I know that the group is getting together, there's a group that meets here in town from his transition program that he graduated from. They still allow him to come in. And so he'll greet all of the kiddos in there, and you know, ask them how they're doing. And then he'll ask them for their birthdays because dates are something that he can absolutely remember. You tell him your birthday one time and 10 years later he will remember your birthday. And so he does stuff like that. But as far as just going out there and saying, hey, let's go do something together, let's go see a movie together, he just doesn't do that.
Right. Now, you said he's got OCD. How is he like with things like showering, washing his hands? Is he obsessive with that as well?
He can be. So sometimes it's pretty bad where he's washing his hands way too much to where they're getting raw. He showers a couple times a day. And sometimes it gets a little out of hand and you got to kind of calm him down. But I understand in those times he's stressed about a certain situation is when you start to see that kind of stuff coming out. So when he got laid off from his job, we start to see the OCD kind of come out a little bit, and I think it's more of an anxiety response for him than it is, you know, the need to be clean, I suppose.
Now, how does he handle like going out in public and dealing with being in the big crowd with the stimulation just from all angles?
When he was younger, he absolutely hated it. Even going to the grocery store was a nightmare. And he would often take off running in the grocery
Oh,
store
God.
just because he would get frightened. And so a grocery trip was literally me chasing after, you know, a little autistic kid in the grocery store, everybody looking at me, why can't you control your child? You know, and you do the best you can in those kind of situations, but when he is legitimately afraid, you know, and you need to get milk at the same time, I mean, you really had to think, how bad do I need that milk, right? Or can I wait until I have somebody available to watch him for me just so I can go get something? And so I definitely had to plan around that kind of stuff. Now, however, he loves to go to town and mingle with different businesses. The bank knows him very well. He's got a couple of restaurants he goes to. He gets coffee at Starbucks all on his own. They know his order. And he goes to the grocery store on his own, buys things for his little house that he has here on our property. And so he does very well as far as that is now. But in the past, it wasn't always like that. And we would take him to some big events, kind of like try to take him to, you know, some monster truck shows that would be happening in the area. And the crowds were really intimidating to him, but he could get through it if he had some headphones on. So that always seemed to be like his security blanket was having the headphones or the earbuds. And that's kind of stayed with him, you know, all the way through now.
Now, what is it like raising a kid who's on the spectrum?
Raising him. So I actually love it. I love how he looks at life in a very different way than I do. And he opens my eyes to a lot of stuff, but it's not always easy, especially doing it as a single parent. You know, in the beginning, it was me and him and my brother living together, you know, until my brother and I's relationship went sour. He was the toxic abuser in my life that I talk about. And so when I left with Austin, it was very difficult at first because I didn't have anybody. I moved to a new town. I had no family. I had no friends, and I didn't even have a job at the time. So I had to figure out, how am I going to get a job now? How am I going to get anybody to watch him with these challenges that he has? You know, so it was something that I had to face, but I started looking to community resources. I checked out some churches. They had people that were more than willing to, you know, accept him and help. And different operations or programs within the town and the county I got that all established and was able to get some help to help watch him just so I could at least go look for a job at that point. I got one pretty quick, which was nice. It was like a blessing, you know. You're looking at all these bills and you've got this mouth to feed and you got nothing to your name. And so it was tough doing it all alone. And I'm actually pretty happy that he was my first child, because it makes my other kids a breeze to handle it after going through what him and I went through, you know, in the early days, and you know, learning all about him now, how patient that I am with my two children that I have now that don't have autism. And they're awesome to him. They absolutely love him, and he loves them, and they've got a great relationship together.
Now, what are some of the challenges you faced raising him?
So some of the challenges that I had, oh goodness, he was a runner, and so there are four different instances where the police got involved because he ran away from his babysitter or the house. You know, turn your head for a second, and boom, he's gone. One time we had gone hiking, but on a property that we had lived on. And there was this little creek that kind of ran the side of the property. It's about a quarter mile away. And at this point, Austin is 15-ish years old. And we got up, and his chores were to do the dishes. And we told him, Austin, go ahead and get your dishes done so we can get some breakfast going. And then a little bit later, we go in there, the sink is full. You know, he's not doing anything, nowhere to be found. So we're looking for him everywhere and we can't find him. And so we end up calling the police. We're like, okay, he ran away. The police are familiar with him at this point because he's done this a couple other times, but not at this property. And my husband had the idea, hey, maybe he went to the creek where we hiked to before because he loves to go swimming. And so I stayed at the house, waiting for the officers to show up, and my husband went looking for him. And he got down to the bank that we were hanging out on in the past, and his heart just sank because all that he could see was Austin's clothes, footprints going into the river, and none coming out, and no sign of him anywhere. And so he is screaming for Austin. Austin, Austin, where are you? Nothing, nothing. And so he calls me, and my husband calls me and tells me what he sees. And when he tells me his clothes are there and the footprints are going in, none coming out, he's nowhere, he's not answering. You know, I thought I had lost my son in that moment, you know. And so the police had come and they went ahead and launched a boat down there, and they brought the dog out. The dog's name actually was Rolo. I remember that dog very well. And they started launching the boat. They let the dog go to look for him. That dog found him in 2 minutes of being off of the leash. He was on the other side of the river, hiding in a bush in his underwear, not wanting to answer because he did not want to go home and do the dishes. And so he's put us through a situation or two in the past that, you know, probably gave me the gray hairs I have on my head today. But, you know, it makes for good story. He got a story in the newspaper. You know, everybody couldn't believe, you know, what happened, and everybody was so thrilled it had a happy ending. But I don't want to go through that ever again. Oh my goodness, it was terrible.
Now, what are some of the joys of raising him?
What's that?
What are some of the joys of raising him?
Oh goodness, I love his smile. He is very genuine, in his smile, and he has a very unique sense of humor. And like I was saying, he looks at life very differently than everybody else, and it's really awesome when he lets that out and he shows you what he's seeing, and you kind of get a glimpse into kind of what makes him tick a little bit when he does do that. And I love that about him, because there's many times, I didn't see things, maybe the way he did, and ended up changing my mind or my belief in one way or another. And especially the fact that, now that he's a young adult, the things that he's able to do now on his own that I never thought he was going to be able to do is incredible, and so it really drove me to do what I'm doing now. If my autistic son can go from not being able to use the bathroom or even say mom at the age of 7 to, having his own tiny home, his own little life, a job, and being able to go out in the community and, get coffee and do all of these things all on his own, there's no reason that I can't do what I want to do as well. Just that drive to just do something, it's great.
Now, I'm going to ask you a really big question.
Okay.
When you look at him, do you see and watch him interact in all his mannerisms? Do you see a lot of those traits in yourself?
Some of them. So I do have very high anxiety. Some of that is from, the situations that I've been through in the past. But a lot of that too, I believe, is probably, very similar to what he has, some of his anxieties as well. I do believe that's probably something that has transferred over, is the anxiety part for sure. I also see that he, the ability to work really hard for what you want as well is something that, I put in him, myself, because I knew one day I wasn't going to be there, for him, and I had to be able to teach him how to do stuff for himself. And so that's something that we've shared, since he's become an adult and all of that fun stuff. And I also think the introvertedness as well. I can be very introverted. I can be very extroverted when I need to be. I was a waitress and a bartender for a long time, and you kind of have to be in that scenario. But as soon as my shift was over, I really didn't want to talk to too many people and wanted to get into my little bubble and just wanted some silence or to listen to my music. And so we have that in common, very much so.
Now, you'd mentioned he likes HVAC. How did he get into something so different of interest? I mean, I know autistics who are into trains, planes, mechanics, computers, but air conditioning and heating, I mean, that's just like so out there.
It is. So that house that he had run away from that I just told you about, it had an old style oil burning furnace in it. Where they had to come and fill up the tankard of oil and you burn the oil throughout the winter. And that also had an air conditioner hooked up to it too. And all the time that thing was freezing over, with the air conditioner would just freeze over and we'd have to call the repairman to come and fix it, the condensers and whatnot. And for some reason, Austin loved watching them repair it. And he was meticulously watching everything they did. And he thought it was funny watching them hose that condenser off when it was frozen over. And then, in the wintertime with the furnace, he loved watching them fill up the tank with oil. He loved, when they had to come repair it when, the motor was out or the fan was out. He just loved watching these guys come and work. And in every house we've had since we've had any kind of repair guy come over, he is watching them. And I let them know ahead of time. I'm like, hey, this is my son. He's autistic, but he's just very interested in what you're doing. If you don't mind, just let him watch. If he gets in the way or he's bothering you, please let me know and I'll, And every single person was, no, he's fine. He's cool. And he'd ask, questions here and there, very basic questions of them because he's curious. And he would get the little bit of information that he needed. And then at night, he would be up all night watching videos on YouTube of what he just saw the guys doing in the house for the repairs.
He reminds me of what my parents used to tell me when I was growing up, which was I used to take apart my father's tools to see how they work.
Oh.
And now I kind of look back at why I used to, whenever we get somebody over, the cable guys, the furnace guys, I sit there and watch them work. And I'm fascinated by it all. I mean, what they're doing, where they're going, what the tools they use, and I'm always fascinated. And I'm never in the way. I make sure I'm at least about a foot away or more from them, so I'm not hovering over them, but I like watching them work. Because this way my mother can go off and do all her stuff, and I can sit there and watch them work. I mean, we lost my father in 2017, so I watch them when they come in, and then I'm the one who usually now is in charge of anything computer related or electronic related, making sure my mom doesn't get stuck in a scam or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. That's important. She's lucky to have you for that because, oh my goodness, that is prevalent right now. Oh.
Now, does Austin have any activity he does outside of school, like fun thing?
He loves to swim. He's got a membership to the swimming pool, and he is ready to jump into any creek that you'll let him jump into. He loves to ride his bicycle to town. That's something that he does a couple times a day, even if it's just to ride through town and back home. And he also recently we bought him a gym membership. Now he goes to the gym a couple times a day. He's found some comfort in just getting on that treadmill and running. That was another thing that kind of one of his other little kicks, I guess, that he has is that he will run circles around the property and hoot and mumble and grunt and all of that. And so he's got that treadmill to go on now. And so he's kind of calmed down on doing that in the property. So he's got that outlet. And those are his fun things that he likes to do. Just be active and live his best life as he can in the moment.
I mean, well, that's a good thing he likes the treadmill. I mean, because that could take place of all his running. So now, instead of running away or anything, it's more like I can use this to stimulate that from run. Maybe that's what running away is for him, is a stim, some kind of active stim.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that was his last time that he ever ran away. And we had to register him with the police and all that fun stuff. And I think it had a big impact on him seeing kind of this major consequence happen of him running. And so thankfully he hasn't done that, and I do trust him to return now. He's much older, and so it's fun to see him have that kind of freedom and not have the anxiety and fear in me that he's not going to come back and something terrible is going to happen. And so that's been very comforting, at least on my end, and it's awesome to see him have his little life.
Now, has he thought about college?
Not too much. Right now, his biggest goal is to just start working and make lots of money. You'll hear him say that. I gotta work and make lots of money. I'm like, I know you do, baby, but we're trying to figure stuff out for you, with you. We've been working with DD Services here in Oregon, along with a couple of private companies. I can't remember the name of those right now, that contract with the government that help provide job placement and training and whatnot. So we haven't really discussed college yet, though, because we didn't really think that was an option for him.
Just so you know, I mean, it should be an option. Never let the Department of Rehab put a damper on anything that he can do. I've gone down that path where my mother and I are sitting down with a caseworker, and she goes, "All you can achieve is a 2-year school." And I went quiet and I just turned over and looked at my mom and looked back and I said, "Thank you." And we left. And we as we leave, my mom's like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "I've never been insulted in my life." And I've been told by many people that that seems to be a common thing that happens is these caseworkers don't know what we're capable of.
Exactly. And I'm learning that because now that he's an adult and we're dealing with the adult side of things, not the school anymore, I've learned that a lot of these caseworkers, are just in it for the resume builder. We've been through since this time last year-ish, we've been through six different workers. And it's sad because we get to a point where we think we're making some progress with them and, we've got them understanding what Austin's goals are. And then, oh no, I'm got promoted or I'm moving on and you're
Yep,
going to
I've
have
had
somebody
that.
else. I don't know who that is yet, but they'll get a hold of you several months later. I finally get a letter. This is your new person. And so it's been rough kind of dealing with this end of it. So one of our things was, okay, maybe we can get him employment full time enough that we don't have to deal with these kind of people, and maybe we can do this just on our own and we don't need that support, because it was a big waste of time in meetings and paperwork to get zero results. And we're learning this now. We've learned our lessons.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've been through it, and it seems to be a common thing. More and more people, it's the same thing. These people need to be trained that we may have disabilities, but we're still humans. We're still capable of doing everything you do. We just think differently.
Incredible things, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, does he have ADHD as well?
He's not diagnosed with it. They didn't see that in him at the time, and in recent doctors, no, they don't give him that diagnosis.
How has Be careful when you apply to jobs, because the minute you check that little box, do you have a disability? They could turn it down. I've gone through that. I've not thinkingly circled the word autism. That could be it. But tell them, find a job that makes them happy, because that's the key to everything. Is you want a job that will work with you, that understands you, and that won't work against you.
Absolutely. They're out there. They just got to find
Yeah.
them. Just got to find them.
I know there are companies out there like Microsoft and a couple others. More and more companies are starting the projects and stuff for those who are autistic, hiring those who are straight autistic and giving them mentors and everything to help them do their jobs and all that.
That's awesome.
So
That's awesome.
besides working with air conditioning, is there any other job you'd like to do?
He loves to work in the yard and landscape, and he loves to mow lawns. He loves to move rocks and do projects outside and have a garden and plant flowers. In his free time in the summer, he's doing a lot of that on our property. And so if he could have a job where he's doing, yard maintenance, he would be happy. He loves being outdoors. Problem is, here in Oregon, and it rains 6 months out of the year too. So I mean, it's very seasonal work around here.
I mean, he could work for somebody like Home Depot in their yard department, or he would be perfect for them because he's partially outside, partially inside. He'd probably know the entire garden department inside out. He can give
Probably.
people suggestions and how to set up their yards and what to do. He'd be perfect for like Home Depot, Menards, Lowe's, in the garden department. That would be right up his alley.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And give them a call, see what they got going on, because yeah. Loves him some plants, he loves him some yard work.
Now, have you began to see through his eyes what the world is like?
You get a glimpse of it for sure. It's definitely different. You never get a full view of it, but he lets you in a little bit. He gives you a little bit of information of kind of how he's seeing things. And it's really cool when he does do that. and he starts to show you, hey, mommy, look at this thing. Like, there was, one of the stories is of a quarter. I would hand him a quarter, but he would say, no, that's not a quarter. That's the eagle coin because there's a big eagle on the back. So being able to see that like that, in a very different way, never really thought about calling it that, but he's absolutely right. It's the coin with the eagle on the back. So it's interesting to see the stuff that he picks up that nobody else does.
Now, and finally, how can people find out more about you and your son and everything you do?
Yeah, so I am on Facebook. I've got my profile, which is Amy Pease. Also my page, which is Passion From Pain. I also have a TikTok, Passion From Pain, and this is where I post all of my content about healing yourself after the narcissistic relationships. And then I am just starting a YouTube channel as well that is Passion From Pain. And so I'm just starting that journey, and I will definitely be talking a lot about raising my son and how we, also escaped that relationship that we were in.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Reed Miles. That's Amy P. And I'll see you in the next one. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.